Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
If you would be turning with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll be reading from there in just a few moments. While you're turning there, I just want to say that isn't this an exciting day? I mean, whenever we should always know that each and every day is a blessing from God's hand, but whenever we wake up and we come outside to see this beautiful sunshine, it just warms my heart and lets me know that God created everything that I see, and it just warms me to see His creation and see the beautiful sun. I hope you feel that way too, and I hope you're excited to be here this morning to worship Him, praise Him, remember Him as we just did in breaking of the bread and taking of the cup, remembering Jesus' sacrifice that He gave for each and every one of us, though we do not deserve it, but we are freely given salvation through His blood. This morning I've chosen a lesson for us to review. Do you hate what God hates? As truly we are all sinners and not deserving of the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us, we need to strive every single day to overcome sin. We need to overcome sin and restore ourselves back to the way we were the day that we were baptized, clean, holy, blameless in front of the Lord. Sometimes we let sin encroach upon our lives and that takes away where we should be with the Lord. You know, some people will say, what about John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. God is a loving God. God wouldn't hate anything or anybody. Well, that's not exactly true. God does, in fact, hate some human actions that we can do. So in our quest to restore ourselves daily, we must be able to have a willing attitude to mold ourselves back to God each and every day. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we can play act like Christians all week long, and we can come in front of each other and partake of the supper and sing the songs and pray, all the while we're letting sin in our lives each and every day more and more. That's not pleasing to God. We need not to offer up vain worship. Offer up acting as if we're a Christian, while all the while letting more and more sin in and allowing it to dig deeper into our lives. Today I want to help us understand that if we are truly the Christians that God wants us to be, that we will hate what God hates. And we will abstain from every evil, as we'll talk about in today's lesson. So with that said, I want to open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6. And I want to read with you verses 16 through 19. 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. We read these seven things that are an abomination to the Lord. Well, so that we're all on the same page, before we begin our lesson this morning, let's look at the words that we see here. Let's make sure we all understand these words. First, hate. We understand hate, but we'll define it anyway. Hate, to have a great aversion to, with a strong desire that evil should befall the person toward whom the feeling is directed. To dislike intensely. To detest, as to hate one's enemies, to hate hypocrisy. That is to hate. That is a word that we find in the Bible of how God sees sin. Another word that we see is God looks at sin as an abomination. Abomination is anything hateful, wicked, or shamefully vile. A detestable behavior, an object or state that excites disgust and hatred, a hateful or shameful vice, pollution. Abomination is pollution to God's perfect plan, to God's perfect creation. God did not create anything sinful or wrong, but the pollution of man is what makes it an abomination to the Lord. We also see the word abhor in the Bible. Abhor is maybe one that we don't use quite as much. We might understand hate and abomination, but who often says, I abhor something? That's not something that we often use. But it means the same. It means to shrink back with shuddering from, to regard with honor, or with horror or detestation, to feel excessive repugnance toward, to detest, to extremity, to loathe. And there's a word we do use. Loathe. That means we really hate something. That's how God feels about sin in our lives. He hates it. It's an abomination to Him. He abhors it. Let's look at some of the things we just read. We read a proud look. A proud look. Someone who thinks that you're better than someone else. You look down upon other people around you. God hates that. We see the New Testament example of the Pharisees. There was someone who had a proud look. There were people who loved the Word of God, but they saw themselves on a different platform as other believers, other Jews. They saw themselves as better, that they more closely followed the law. But that is not to be the way we are to act. No Christian is better than the other, and for that matter, no human is better than the other. For God sent His Son for each and every one of us. A proud look is something that God hates. What about a lying tongue? We read that. A lying tongue is something that God hates. God hates lying because there is no evil in Him. And lying is evil. Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. There can be no evil in God or Jesus. A lying tongue is something that God hates. We need to remember that as we live our lives every day. And we need to think about these things. And we'll touch more on that in just a few moments. We'll continue down this list that we read. Hands that shed innocent blood. From the very beginning in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God hated murder so much that to make His creation, His created man, understand, He tells Noah, whoever sheds man's blood, by man, his blood shall be shed. Sometimes I secretly wish that maybe that's the way we still had our laws today. That maybe there would be less sin. There would be more violence and murders in this nation if maybe when we murdered someone, we would also have to die for our sin of murdering. But we know that's not the way it is. Sure, we have the death penalty, we have our jails, but people certainly aren't too afraid of that, or they wouldn't do these things, would they? Furthermore, something else that happens in this nation, as I was reading over these things and studying for this lesson, I went and looked at some statistics online, and I have it cited for us at the bottom here. But this says, in 2005, approximately 1.21 million abortions took place in the United States. The sad thing is that's actually a good statistic because that says that is down from an estimated 1.9 million in 2002. How sad is that, that we live in a nation where 1.21 million people are murdered every year because a parent made a bad decision, that they didn't mean to get pregnant. But our nation doesn't see abortion as a sin, doesn't see it as something bad. But God says He hates hands that shed innocent blood. And abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. Let's go on through the list. We also read that God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. This is someone who is always plotting and planning a way to take advantage of someone dishonestly. Have we ever been guilty of that in our jobs? Or in our personal life, maybe if we're trying to sell something and we know someone doesn't know the true value, are we just going to oversell them on something? Are we going to tell one of our employees to do something that may not be as honest, but we know it'll help us? God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. Let us not be someone who devises wicked plans against others. What about feet that are swift in running to evil? Well, God said He hates that as well. This is someone who has no love for God. This is someone who sees an opportunity and runs straight for it, diving headfirst without any care that it's sinful, without any care that it could be bad for another human being. But God says He hates that. He hates it when we have feet that are swift to running to evil, that are wanting to intake or partake of fleshly desires. instead of the things that God would have us to do. Let us remember that the next time we are considering actions. God hates people that are swift and running to evil. What about a false witness who speaks lies? Again, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus tells us, as well as His apostles and the apostles that wrote the Bible by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they warned us that there would indeed be those who would talk falsely against God. They would say God is not the God. They'd say Jesus is not the Son of God. In fact, there will be false witnesses who speak lies against God and the Son and against other people. God hates those who are false witnesses. The last one that we read in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, is one who sows discord among brethren. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We see here that Paul tells us to be joined together. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says to the Corinthians and to us as well today, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." As Christians, we are to be of the same mind, because we will certainly one day all be accounted for by the same judgment. What this means to us as Christians is that we are going to, from time to time, we're going to read a certain passage. And I might feel like it says one thing, while you might read it another way and think it says something else. We are to come together and study the Word of God. We are to consider what God wants us to do in our lives with the Scriptures. We are not to point fingers and say that, "Oh, that's wrong. How you read that verse, that is completely wrong. I'm right." So many people, even in the church today, can be guilty of coming down on a certain opinion of Scripture. And instead of trying to work it out and study together with their brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll form little teams, little factions. And they'll get this group of people that agree with them so that they can all be right over here and they can point fingers at all those that are wrong over there. It causes divisions. Causes anger. It causes us to not be perfectly joined together. But we are told we are to be perfectly joined together. Furthermore, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we also see the consequence of those who purposely sow discord among brethren. It will bring swift destruction on themselves. And it says that their ways are destructive. Indeed, God hates one who sows discord among his brethren. Now we went through these seven things we read in Proverbs chapter 6. And some of these you might say to yourself, I know these things, Adam. Obviously, if I'm a Christian, I know some of these things are bad. I know that I shouldn't do these things, that God hates them. But do we? All of them? I fear that we might look past some of these things as just maybe irritations. But maybe not so sinful to God. They're just things we should, overlook. Maybe at best, they're just something that's irritating in our life, such as the proud look. What about the proud look? How many times are we guilty instead of saying that we ourselves or somebody else has a proud look? Well, he's just got a strong personality. He's not doing anything wrong. Or we might try to cushion it by saying, well, that's just his way. He doesn't mean anything by it. I know he said something that sounded a little like he was proud, but that's just his way. Just overlook it. We shouldn't look at that way about others, and we certainly should not look that way at ourselves. Sometimes we can be guilty of putting ourselves on a higher platform above others for whatever reasons. Maybe religiously speaking, or maybe in the workplace, maybe at home. We should never put ourselves above others and have a proud look, and we should not disguise a sin by calling it something else. What about a lying tongue? Number 2 in the list of the 7 abominations to God that we read. We can justify all types of sins in our lives. lying is one of the easiest ones to justify. We can say that was just a little white lie. It's not going to say anything too major there. Or what if we had to say to ourselves, you know, I had to say that, or I would have kept my boss happy. I mean, what do you want me to do, preacher? Do you want me to look at the Word of God and apply it to myself? If I didn't lie about that, I might have gotten fired. I would have gotten that promotion. And that's a little extreme, I know, but you see how we can justify all types of sin in our lives for certain reasons. But lying is still hated by God, no matter the excuse that we give for it. It's still an abomination. Remember those words that we said that God hates, that God uses for His hatred towards sin. We said that the Bible says hate. It says an abomination. It says abhor. Remember these things before we make our decisions, that these aren't just little white lies. These aren't just little things we can pass over. God hates them. God hates them. We should hate them too as Christians and not allow them to get into our lives. We've looked at seven abominations to the Lord. Number two in our notes this morning, I want us to see some sins that God hates that the world does not seem to hate. But we need to make sure that we do. We'll start with divorce. Sins that God hates that the world does not, divorce. Again, I looked at some statistics over divorce in America. And here's what it said. It said the divorce rate in America for a first marriage is 41%. 41%. I know without a doubt that when my parents were my age, I'm sure it was not 41%. So I know that it gets worse and worse by each generation. But 41%. Divorce is something that God hates, but yet 41% of Americans on their first marriage get a divorce. I understand some of those reasons are justified by the Word of God in the New Testament, but many of them are not. It's only going to get worse. As we see, the divorce rate in America for a second marriage is 60%. Someone got divorced and got remarried, not even thinking about the reasons why and if it's biblical or not. It says that a divorce rate in America for a second marriage is 60%. That's 60% of marriages that are in sin to God. It only gets worse as the divorce rate in America for a third marriage is 73%. Divorce is something that God hates. Yet as we look at these things, 41% of first marriages all the way down to 73% for a third marriage. God hates divorce. We see this in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that He hates divorce. For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously." Notice the words that are used in this scripture. Violence. When we say the word violence, we think of a murder. We think of someone breaking into our house, maybe stabbing someone, maybe someone got shot. That's what we think about when we think of violence. But the scripture says that God sees divorce as violent, sees it as treachery. That's what God feels about divorce. The ungodly, the ones in this world who do not care about what their Creator has asked of them, very obviously do not feel that divorce is something that God hates. What about a second one? Homosexuality. Now, I don't believe that I have to stand here before you and give you some stats on the growth of homosexuality in America. We all understand that it's growing, and it's being accepted by the news, by media, by our entertainment that we indulge ourselves in. It's a position that many take as a personal choice, and yet another, and then many that don't even have it as a personal choice for their life, but they accept it. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." You know, people in this world will call you narrow-minded if you say that homosexuality is a sin. If you look down upon those that do it and try to teach them that God still loves them, that there's ways out of this, that God does not want this for your life, you're just seen as someone who's hateful. Narrow-minded. You should be more open with your thoughts. You should be more accepting about these people. God loved the world. He wouldn't hate anybody that does anything. Well, that's not true. There are certain actions that we can do that God hates, and that is one of them. When I was a little younger, when I was maybe middle school and high school, I started to see a trend in television. There began to be a lot of shows that were directly pointed towards people of my age group that began to have at least one homosexual as a main character in a show. And that was a big deal, you know, when I was younger, because that wasn't widely accepted on television. Just that one person inserted into the show as a main character. That was a big deal. But you see how time has evolved. You see now that TV shows for our children, for our teenagers, for our young adults, it's hard to find a television show that doesn't have at least one homosexual as a main character, or at least in the show, an acceptance of that kind of a lifestyle. The world around us wants us to accept it. Doesn't want us to see it as a sinful action. God hates it. God calls it an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5, that we'll look at in just a moment, gives us another abomination. Gives us cross-dressing. Now that's kind of brings a smile on my face, because that's not something that we talk about a lot. And you might be saying, really, that's in the Bible? Really, is that something that God covers? Is that really something that is an abomination, a sin to the Lord? Well, indeed it is. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. A woman shall not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. There was a time when I lived in Orlando, Florida, as did my wife, and sadly, there was a big show that would happen on the weekends in downtown Orlando, Florida. And there would be a big show of cross-dressing, men who would dress up in women's clothing and have a whole a show here, kind of like a runway model. Sadly, a lot of the people that I called friends in Orlando, they would go to these shows. Some of them actually agreed with that type of lifestyle. But many other people just simply saw that as at least something pretty funny to go watch. It was entertainment. They didn't agree with it, but it's at least kind of funny to go watch this, right? That's not how God wants us to act. God doesn't want us to indulge in sinful lifestyles, and He doesn't even want us to be involved with darkness. We'll talk about that again later in our lesson. It's not just something that's funny to look at, sin. Sin is not funny. Sin is seen as an abomination to the Lord your God. Another sin that God hates, that the world seemingly does not, is those who justify the wicked. I've already mentioned that in our entertainment around us that it promotes many actions that God calls sin. But did you know that God even hates those that even stand up for those that sin? Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15 says, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." Those in the media and those who have rallies to defend such actions as abortion and homosexuality, well, we might see that those actions that they're defending are bad, but those people aren't really bad. Well, this verse says that they are. We plainly see that those who justify the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. When you have friends and co-workers that have spoken to you and tell you that you're wrong for calling sin, sin, that's an abomination to the Lord. We need to remember that when we decide to take certain stands in the world around us about sin, that we not need to let others around us rub off on us. It's so easy for us. As we're around those in the world that are not saved, that have no love for God or even want to know more about the Lord, You know, they'll tell us over and over again, we should not see sin that way. God loves everybody. God does not want anybody to go to hell. That is true. God does not seek anyone to go to hell, but He does have a day of judgment. Do not let those around us in the world rub off on us and tell us that these things are okay, because they're not. As a Christian, we need to take a stand, and not of our own opinion, but take a stand on what the Word of God tells us. Speaking about actions of Christians, things we need to be watchful of in our own lives. We've looked at some things that are plainly said in the Word of God that are abomination. We know what an abomination is. We know it's a hated, abhor, sin. We looked at some things that the world says is not sinful. God does. I want to turn our attention now to ourselves as Christians. And ask the question, do you hate what God hates? This is really what I want to drive home this morning, because I fear that sometimes as Christians, we can become too accepting. And we can stop hating certain sins as they're around us more and more. Or even as we do them more and more, we can stop hating them. I want to begin our final point this morning by taking a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you would please turn with me in your Bibles in the Old Testament to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8. We'll indeed see that there is a time for everything that we do. God tells us there's a time for different things. We read a whole list in chapter 3 here of different time to be born, to die, time to heal, time to kill, weep, mourn, laugh. We read in verse 8 that there is indeed a time to love, as the Father loves each and every one of us. But it also says, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. But He still has a time to hate. And the things that He hates, we need to hate in our daily lives as well. Hate evil. We need to think about that. That means all evil. It doesn't mean just some evil, some of the time, while we let other sins in our lives slip by and make excuses for them. We are told to hate evil, and we need to hate evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 tells us this. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. We need to hate all evil. But I wonder sometimes in our lives, including my own self, if sometimes we'll give a free pass to certain sins in our lives. Do we ever see certain things? Well, that's okay. I'm doing 95% great work for the Lord. I just really want this one thing. If the Lord would just grant me this one sin that I can't let go of. It could be anything in our lives. I could go on through the list. You know what it is to you, and I know what it is to me. Each one of us has a certain sin that is hard to get away from. There are certain sins that we can look at and we can think, that's no big deal. That's not tempting to me. But each one of us knows that sin that is hard to give up. But as a Christian, we are not to give a free pass to that. We are to constantly work on it. God knows we're not going to be perfect. And we're going to be perfect and never do that sin. But we have to constantly try. We can't just give a free pass to something in our life and say that's okay. That's not how God sees it. Ask us this morning, do we ever tolerate certain forms of entertainment? Movies? Music? Again, pointing the finger at myself, we need to be wary not to allow those forms of entertainment in front of our sight. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can watch a whole movie that we just love. This movie is hilarious. I love this movie. But there are those couple parts that are really simple. But, you know, I just kind of, you know, I turn down the volume, or, you know, I kind of turn my head. I won't look at those. That's not how our brain works. We can't just shut off a few sinful parts of entertainment we put in front of our face. What about music that we listen to? If you're like me, you're a big music person, and, And as you're driving to work in the morning, isn't it the case that no matter what, whether you hate the song or not, that song is going to get stuck in your head for the next 4 hours of work at least, maybe more. You'll be at lunch and you think it's gone, and all of a sudden you start singing that song in your head again. Well, what kind of song was it? What kind of music are we listening to? Is it, again, one of those songs where it's 90% good except for those couple words in there, those couple connotations we shouldn't be listening to? You know, the way the brain works, when we replay those thoughts, those things we've seen in movies, those things we've heard in music, we're not going to be able to just cut off a couple of those bad words. We're not going to be able to cut off a couple of those sinful scenes that we've seen. We need to make sure the kind of entertainment we put in front of ourselves is the kind that would be pleasing to God, that would help us to be better Christians. Not the type of entertainment in front of us that would help us to sin. We might think that we can cut out just certain parts of it, but when we watch things, when we hear things, all of it enters into our mind. We need to be mindful of those things. We cannot just accept certain sins. Sin is something that God hates. The more and more that we keep those things in front of our sight, you know what will happen? The more and more you let sinful things in front of your life, you'll start to accept it a little more. The more you hear something, it becomes a little bit more acceptable. It's like maybe the first time your children ask you if they can go do something. No. No, you cannot do that. But they know they can wear you down. They keep asking you over and over again, "Mom, Dad, can I please do this?" You'll give in. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. You might. Same way with sin. If we allow it to be in our lives, it'll wear on us. It'll wear on us. It'll be more and more acceptable to us. Before we know it, we will not hate sins in our lives. I'll look at a few more verses with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 tells us, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good." This is how we should see evil. We should resist it at all costs, because we know that we are sinful creatures. We know that we are weak creatures. And if we put sin in front of our lives, it's only a matter of time until we submit to it. This verse tells us to cling to what is good. And that's what we need to do. The more we're around good, the better we'll be. The more we're around evil, the more sinful we'll be. We also look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." We are to have no fellowship with darkness. If we have friends that are going somewhere we don't need to go, we do not need to go. We don't need to just go and then hope that we will not do the things that our friends are doing that are sinful. Again, once we let things rub off on us, we're going to fall to temptation. God wants us to hate sin. That means taking no part in it. Not even a little. We cannot expect to allow some sin in our life and still be seen as without spot, without blemish in front of the eyes of God. Do you hate what God hates this morning? As Christians who constantly strive to restore ourselves back to God, we need to hate what God hates. I wonder this morning, if we were to ask ourselves the question, do we hate what God hates? Would we? Furthermore, I wonder that if I asked someone that was close to you, maybe your husband, wife, a friend, a co-worker, if we had to go just off of that, of someone that's been around you all the time, would they know what you hate by your actions? I'll put myself in this. If someone had to ask, "What does Adam hate?" and had to ask someone who's around me every day, would my action show that I hate sin? Remember your actions that you do each and every day and how they affect not only your life with Christ, but they affect others around you. If you say that you're a Christian, hate what God hates. Hate those sins every day. Not just when we come together for worship on the first day of the week. Hate them every single day and cling to what is good, as we just read. I want to close with you this morning by reading Ecclesiastes chapter 12.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, and the lesson will be yours. This tells us, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, every work, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. On the day of judgment, it won't matter if there's a sin in our life that we've kept hidden in a closet so none of our other Christian friends can see. God knows. God wants you to hate sin in your life the way He hates sin in this world. This morning, if you're a child of God who has allowed sin to be around you too much, know that there's no time like right now to make things right. Walk out of these doors without blemish in your life. Be excited about renewing yourself back to God. We can help you by praying with you, encouraging you. Please let us do that. Let us help you to restore yourself back to God. If you're not a child of God this morning, God hates sin in your life. But it doesn't have to stop for you there. There is something that Jesus did for you, did for each and every one of us, and it's wonderful. Any sin in our life can be wiped clean by believing Jesus is the Son of God, being baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you to wipe away sin in your life through baptism, I ask you to come forward. Let that need be known now as we stand and as we sing. Won't you come?